Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it science?
So, you know, we're told to eat our greens, right? They're part of a good diet. They taste pretty nice. Well, if they're cooked right, they keep us healthy. But if what if we could actually be our greens? I know. Can you believe it? Let's find out what that even means. Merrin McKinnon is from the Australian National Centre for the Public Awareness of Science at the ANU. How can we be our greens? Tell me about this study.
This is a really interesting one, Patricia. So basically they're looking at how we can use things like spinach leaves to create tissues that might be damaged and reduce that need for organ donation. So to give you an example, in the US in 2014, there was something like 3,000 people waiting for a heart transplant, but only just over 2,500 transplants. So there's about 500 people who miss out. So what these scientists have been doing is looking at different ways of creating tissues that could be replaced, that can replace damaged tissues. So say you've had a heart attack and you have some heart muscle which doesn't work anymore. How can we create heart muscle to replace that damaged bit so you don't need to actually receive an organ from somebody else? And spinach might be the answer.
So these are scientists in Massachusetts. That's an incredible thing to do. I'm sorry, but finding it hard to get my head around. I'm not a scientist. that spinach can be turned into a beating human heart tissue. That's
I know,
incredible.
But even as a scientist, it is kind of like, wow, really?
Yeah,
that's
right?
A thing? So the way that they do it is, obviously, it's not a whole Popeye phenomenon here. It's what they do is they use a process called decellularization, and this is something that's already used in organ donation. So what they do is they take spinach leaves and they put it through this decellularization. So all of the green plant material is taken out, and all you are left with is the cellulose structure. So basically, almost like the skeleton of the leaf, and that includes the whole vein and capillary network that the spinach leaf has, which is really quite intricate and quite dense, much like the capillaries in a human body. So we have about 10 billion capillaries in our body, and trying to create that network from scratch is really difficult. So we're borrowing from nature. So what they've done is removed all the plant material, seeded the spinach leaf, like the cellulose structure that was left, with heart muscle cells, and perfused that with blood to keep that material, those tissue cells, alive. And after a couple of days, they found that those heart cells started to spontaneously contract, which is what heart muscle would do.
I just think that's so incredible. All right, let's move to another one because we're going to run out of time. Over the pond in the UK, a group of researchers led by the University of Oxford have discovered that atheists have very strongly held religious beliefs, are less afraid of death than people who fall between these two categories. Really?
Yeah, that's right. This is a study that really raises more questions than answers, unfortunately. But they've looked at a whole bunch of studies, so about 100 studies between 1961 and 2014. And so these are studies that include about 26,000 people looking at the relationship between your religious conviction and your anxiety over death. And yeah, so if you have very strong religious beliefs, or if you have no religious beliefs whatsoever, you're not too worried. If you fall somewhere in the middle, then you're more likely to be anxious about your impending demise.
Wow, that's really incredible. So how did they actually measure the fear of death?
It's from a whole range of studies. They focused on studies that had met four criteria. So you focus on your own fear of death or dying. They measured aspects of religiosity, so your beliefs or your behaviours, your identity, your orientation, the relationship between death anxiety and religiosity, and reported effects, so that it allowed them to do some kind of statistical analysis. So really it's like, if you believe X and you feel Y, maybe this is this kind of relationship. Unfortunately, there's no consensus through all of the literature at all. And really, there's been a very strong focus on just sort of the Abrahamic religions, so things like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. We need to look at other religions in that as well, in different cultures.
Absolutely. All right, we've only got 2 minutes left, but I think this one's really interesting. Biomedical engineers in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Northwestern University have developed a machine that's able to mimic the female reproductive system. Why would anyone want to do that? What does it achieve?
This is fantastic. So this is basically modelling really complex human systems in a way that we can see and control. It will help us to treat potentially diseases and issues like infertility, endometriosis, fibroids, and it allows us to actually see what's going on inside that human system. It also helps reduce the need for animal models, so we can start to cut back on the amount of animal testing that we need to do.
All right, that's the kind of dividend you wouldn't expect, but many people would be pretty happy about, wouldn't they? Is there a male version?
There's one coming. It's called the Dude Cube.
Oh, of course.
And it has testes and prostate tissue, and they're working on being able to connect it to other parts of the male body. And this is all part of a larger project funded by the National Institute of Health in the United States to develop similar systems to represent all the main organ and tissue systems of the human body.
So is this potentially leading us down the road of developing systems that can carry children outside the human body?
It's unlikely. Like, we're nowhere near this stage at all. And I think everything is so tightly regulated and controlled by ethics and other legislation that it really is quite unlikely. I don't think that's a real concern.
We're not there yet, people. All right. Thanks, Meron. It's been great to talk to you.
Pleasure.
Dr. Meron McKinnon is from the Australian National Centre for the Public Awareness of Science at the ANU. It's nearly news time. After the ABC News at 7:15, we're going to be in the drawing room with two excellent comedians, Ruby Wax and Hannah Gadsby. That's coming up, but it's news time now. It's 7:00.